I started off with nothing, absolutely nothing. I was a single mom. I didn't have a partner at the time. Things have changed. But it was extremely difficult trying to juggle that.
My name is Esprit Devora, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I. I call it actionable empowerment. Every single episode, you'll hear the story of a fantastic woman in tech, from engineers to founders to investors to journalists to designers, all sorts of different females in tech who have thrived. I want to share their stories with you so that you can know what resources, mentors, and life situations they accessed in order to get to where they are today. Enjoy.
Welcome back to the Women in Tech Podcast here in Phoenix, Arizona, connecting and collaborating with the most inspiring women in tech in the world. Yes. And today I have Sarah on the show here at ACT, produced by Chick Tech. So awesome. So many heart-driven leaders. I feel a complete privilege in being here. Sarah, hello.
Hello.
So, Sarah, this is your first podcast.
It is, yes.
But it's not your first time with audio-visual gear because you're a photographer, too.
I am, but I'm typically behind the scenes. So that is just like a side hustle for myself. But I'm usually not in front of a camera or microphone, so I'm usually behind it.
Well, this time you are in front of it. Wait. You are taking pictures of ACT. Yeah. How long have you been with Chick Tech?
I've been with Chick Tech for 2 years. I'm actually the high school program director for the Seattle chapter.
Nice. And let's start from the top. Go ahead and introduce yourself to everybody and tell them a little about who you are and what you do.
All right. So Sarah Bromling. I am the high school program director for Chick Tech Seattle. It is a volunteer gig. So my full-time job is actually a cyber analyst for a startup called Rubica.
So, and what does Rubica do?
So Rubica provides concierge, private cybersecurity for high net worth or executive level individuals.
Very cool. And they need it because Everybody wants to crack into their iPhones.
Exactly.
I remember the whole Paris Hilton scandal. And I think there were scandals recently, too, of just their data on their phones being taken.
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge, they're huge targets, especially if you are in a certain net worth, you're going to be a target.
Oh, you're banking.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, trippy. Mm-hmm. So people pay, how do you say it, Rubica?
Rubica.
Rubica, people pay Rubica a subscription fee or something?
Yes, so it's a service that we provide, and then we have live analysts monitoring their data and making sure that there's no threats found. And if there's any threats, then we communicate immediately with any remediation that may need to be done. And so it's a much more personal, private, concierge service.
Yeah.
Yeah, white glove.
I mean, how many threats do you see a day or a week?
There's quite a few. It ranges from plain text data traversing the internet. So that means if somebody were sitting man in the middling the session, they would be able to see potentially credentials. So username, password, if that website or service isn't encrypting that data. That's probably one of the bigger threats out there, particularly because your credentials can be seen, right? So your email login or your banking information or whatever that may be.
Crazy.
I would say the second one, let me go back. The number one threat, I think, would be phishing attempts. So that's where social engineering comes in, where people, send an email pretending to send you an invoice, for example, which isn't, it's not a real invoice, but you click on it and you put in your credentials and all of a sudden they've captured that.
Yeah. So this week I had malware on one of my websites that, thank you to my friends at, one of my friends from Build for tweeting me and saying, I think your website's been held hostage.
Hijacked.
Yeah. And so it's a thing. It's a thing. And I was like, why would anybody want to bother my website? And then my hosting provider said, sometimes it's just random. It's not a personal thing. It's just.
Yeah. I mean, it really depends on the individual behind the attack. I mean, some of it can be automated, some of it can just be randomized like that. It could be, you know, some people may hold it for ransom, right?
Right.
Like, okay, hey, like, we've hijacked this, now pay us to get it back.
Right.
Or it could be more targeted. So like the clientele that I deal with, it's probably more like a target, you know, they've done the research, they know who they are, they want to target this individual because they're worth X amount.
Yeah. Yeah. That's nuts. Okay. When did you first become passionate about the world of technology?
Let's see, I'm trying to think back. I want to say 2012.
Right.
That's when
about
I...
About 6 years.
Yeah. So I... I was in, I'm going to go back now.
Yeah.
I was in Spain. I had just had my child.
Yeah.
She's seven now, and moved back to the States. I didn't have any formal education. I didn't have a job. I didn't know what I was going to do.
Right.
So I decided to enroll in college.
Right.
And I actually enrolled as a medical administration degree to begin with.
This is crazy because none of this has to do with tech yet, and which is amazing. Like, I know you're going to get there. I'm like, how? That's okay.
So I was, you know, a poor single mom. I was on financial aid. I was on work study. I needed to find a part-time job. And I ended up getting a part-time job at the IT help desk at the college.
Uh-huh.
And this college that I went to had a pretty reputable IT program. And at the time, I had no idea, like, what that meant at all.
Right.
And after about 6 months of working at the help desk, one of my coworkers actually suggested that I switch my degree to something in tech because I definitely had a passion for it, and it was something that I thrived in.
Right.
And I was actually flip-flopping back and forth between web development and this for computer forensics information security degree. And what really, like, tipped the scales for me was my boss at the time told me that I wouldn't like and I wouldn't be good at digital forensics or network security because I'm a girl.
Okay. So that just, like, motivated you,
right,
to be like, take
exactly
this, bam, 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 Angelina Jolie. Yeah.
And so I committed. I finished the degree, and it just kind of went from there. So after I finished my degree in digital forensics and information security, I actually pivoted to, I worked at a nonprofit called Year Up, and I taught IT to 18 and 25-year-olds inner city underprivileged youth.
Right.
Which provided them, so they spent like 6 months with me in the classroom, kind of like a boot camp style of training, and then we would place them in like 6 month internships at like corporate partners like Microsoft, Facebook, Google,
right,
Amazon, those kind of places.
No big deal. Yeah.
It gave them a foot into the industry,
right,
like a little leg up. To kind of kickstart their careers.
And what would you say has been one of the biggest challenges that you've successfully overcome?
I think... that's hard. honestly, I think maybe getting that over that hump of the poverty, right? Like, I started off with nothing, absolutely nothing. I was a single mom. I didn't have a partner at the time. Things have changed. But it was extremely difficult trying to juggle that, right? Having to pick my daughter up at, you know, 5 o'clock from the daycare, not being able to work after that, like having, you know, going home and then like prepping her for bed and putting, you know, and then doing the homework up until like 1 a.m, getting up at 6 a.m and doing it all over again. I those first years were extremely hard, and I didn't know if I could make it through it. But I'm glad I persisted. I'm glad that I finished strong, and it worked out for the best. So I make, you know, I have a salary that I never imagined that I would be able to make, you know, back in...
$1 million a year! Just kidding.
And that kind of persistence, or, you know, I'm constantly growing. I'm constantly pushing my boundaries, seeing what more I can do, because I definitely surprise myself in that situation, right? You never know what you can do until you do it. So
100%. What resources do you access to develop your skill set?
I use a lot of self-learning. Honestly, I watch at least 2 to 3 like webinars online. I take part of all of the free online classes that there are, like Code Academy, Khan Academy, cyber IT or cyber IT, Linda, like anything. I'm constantly learning, which I think that what I love about tech is that you're a lifelong learner. If you're going to commit into this field, like, it's not enough to just get your degree and be done with it. It's something that you always have to keep working at and be, you know, learn more.
So. When your friend first suggested switch into an IT focused track in school, why did you think that would be the right fit for you?
I think by that time I had established a group of friends that were all in tech, and I started to become more involved in the tech scene and seeing the opportunity there, and I really wanted to jumpstart my career. I didn't want to have to like be in school for like 10 years to be able to like get a good paying job.
Right.
And I saw that tech was probably unique in the sense that industry is probably unique in the sense that you don't necessarily need to have that like prestigious four-year degree or any degree per se.
Right.
You need to be able to show what you can do, show your skill. And I think I really appreciated that about the industry. It wasn't about like what you had.
Yeah.
It was about what you knew.
I love it. And why is ACT where we are right now? Why is this event meaningful for you?
So I got involved with Chick Tech. I was working at Europe, and I really wanted to become more involved with the community. It's a nonprofit, really had a huge presence in the community, but I wanted to expand more. One of the things that I noticed in the classes that I was teaching was a lack of women. I ran across a posting on Volunteer Match for Chick Tech, and it just sounded like an amazing organization. At the time, I was like, oh, this would be a great way to create a pipeline for the Europe that I worked at. And then it just kind of evolved into, after getting to know the high school girls and the women that you were exposed to and just like the inspirational stories that you hear almost on a daily basis, it really became a second passion for me, that Chick Tech community.
Oh, I love it. And what has been your favorite moment here so far?
At Chick Tech,
yeah.
Or at the conference?
Both.
I think getting to know the caliber of women that that Chick Tech kind of entices into their community. There's just some amazing women.
Chapters all over the world.
I think there's about 16 chapters now. We had our first international chapter open in Toronto, which is kind of exciting. And I've visited two out of the 16. So hopefully I'll be able to visit more.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I guess my favorite part about the conference,
yeah.
I loved Janice's keynote talking about how she got her start, and it just really helped you empathize with how this Chick Tech movement started, because I'm sure that any woman sitting in that audience at one point has experienced something similar.
Awesome. What can we see from you? Where do you want to go from here?
I'm not really sure. Right now I'm currently working as a cyber analyst, and I'm excelling at threat hunting, which is something that I really enjoy. So that's like digging through the data, looking for the bad. I don't know if you know the song Hunter by Galantis, but that's like my theme song. But I think... right now, I guess my current goal would be moving towards like an SME position in that like threat hunting category, which subject matter expert. I've also been, I was approached a couple times for like a technical account manager position, which I didn't take the job, but the job description definitely like piqued my interest. I'm going to see if I can carve that in eventually into my plans. That's more of like knowing the technical and also being able to interface with a client and be able to speak, you know, non-tech jargon,
right,
and still explain like what you're doing.
So. How did you find your job right now? Rubica, right?
So networking, actually. As cliche as that sounds, I do believe that networking is probably the most important thing that you can do, especially as a woman in tech. It opens so many more doors. Trying to cold apply, like, it's just not as effective. But, you know, when I decided to leave my previous job, I really... looking for a full-time job or looking for a job is like a full-time job in itself. So I was out 4 times a week at networking events, meeting people. However, this job opportunity actually came from a really good friend and mentor of mine who directly recommended me for the position, and it worked out for the best. So.
Oh, I love it. Where can people find you online?
I'm on LinkedIn. It's, I don't know my URL.
No, just spell your name.
My name's Sarah Bromling, S-A-R-A-B-R-O-M, and you can find me on LinkedIn.
Awesome. Thank you, Sarah, so much for hanging out with the Women in Tech podcast. Two more final questions. What is your favorite book, professionally or personally or both?
Favorite book is Les Miserables by Victor Hugo. I don't know, that kind of like tragedy really speaks to me. That kind of like had good intent, but you know things don't always work out for the best. I would also say Siddhartha is probably
Siddhartha's really good.
Yeah, by Hermann Hesse. Professionally, I was recommended, I don't really read self-help books, but I was, can I swear?
Yeah, it's a podcast, fuck.
So probably the best self-help book I've ever read was The Art of
The Mark Mason. Yeah. What is it, Mark Mason?
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, I met him, super nice awesome. Guy, very normal guy, and it was, yeah, I love that.
Yes.
And your favorite tech tool?
My favorite tech tool,
aside from Rubica, obviously. I want Rubica to protect me.
Like app or
anything?
So I'm in cybersecurity, obviously. I really do enjoy, I don't know if you know, the Kali Linux, which is like, it's a Linux distro specifically built for a security. So there's all these like pretty awesome built-in tools. I love playing around with Wireshark. That's probably one of my favorite things to do, is just kind of...
And what does Wireshark do?
Wireshark captures data, so you can... It's essentially man-in-the-middling, so you can see if you're connected to a network, you start up Wireshark, you can see all of the conversations happening back and forth, and that's how we find threats, too, so...
It looks like Wireshark is my new fave. And if you could give one piece of advice or insight to someone looking to enter cybersecurity who has no experience whatsoever, where should they start?
Really, I would say, I mean, it's a fairly new industry. Unfortunately, I would say that most entry-level positions for cybersecurity require like 5 years of experience, which is ridiculous, because if you're entry-level, how are you going to have 5 years of experience? But I would say, like, really honing your skills. Like, even though that they say, yes, you need 5 years of experience, if you can prove that you have the capability of using these tools, you know, if you know what you're talking about, really like self-study. That is probably the best thing that you can do, is you have to have a passion for it. You have to have a drive to learn and to teach yourself. So,
right. Yeah, and we'll include some of the self-study resources she gave us earlier in the conversation. Carl, our incredible teammate, will put those in the show notes. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Sarah, for being taking photos, supporting Women in Tech, and being on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. I will talk to you guys. See you guys. All the things in the next episode. Remember to connect with more incredible collaborative people on the Women in Tech Facebook group, which is womenintechvip.com. That's womenintechvip.com. And if you want one of the cool Women in Tech stickers, say hello on social at Women in Tech Show, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. I will talk to you later. Bye.
Women in Tech is an independently funded project funded by you, the community. So the way that you could support us is by going to patreon.com/womenintech and making a small contribution. Every little bit counts. That's Patreon, patreon.com/womenintech. Thank you so much for believing in our vision.